When we begin to gather in our church buildings again for worship, will the space be welcoming? What are the implications of having to maintain social distancing, of having to be very prescriptive about people's behaviour, of not being able to show hospitality in the ways that we're used to? Even potentially, and this could be an issue for Wheatley URC in particular, even having to turn people away when we've reached a certain socially distanced capacity. And I know these are some things that the elders have been grappling with together during this week. I think it's difficult for us to see our own familiar and beloved churches through a newcomer's eyes. For a person who's not used to church or who's carrying negative experiences or expectations of church, it takes a lot of courage to join a service. If they do venture in, they're likely to be very sensitive to any cues that indicate whether they're welcome. That's why, I'm sorry, but that's where so-and-so usually sits, has been a particular bugbear of mine. There are people out there, in fact, I spoke with one earlier this week, who long for a place to worship or belong, somewhere they can be themselves, somewhere they can voice their doubts and their questions, somewhere they can find their tribe, their people. How do we communicate to them that our churches are safe and welcoming? This passage from Matthew reminds us that hospitality is central to mission, and that mission is the true purpose of the church. In welcoming the stranger, we might welcome Christ himself. So we should take this stuff seriously. It's also important to notice, though, that in this sending out in Matthew's Gospel, the disciples are the recipients, not the providers of hospitality. This is a different dynamic, because when hospitality is given, the power lies with the host. In this gospel scenario, it's the disciples who are the vulnerable ones stepping into unfamiliar, potentially hostile spaces. This, I think, is a challenge to our understanding of mission. Very often we fall into patterns of thinking and talking about mission, as if the purpose and the goal is to get people to join our churches or to grow our churches. We absolutely should invite people to join our worship, and we should make the space welcoming and inclusive. But Jesus is sending the disciples out to be guests, and he gives an amazing promise and responsibility to go with it. He says to his disciples that in meeting and welcoming you, the stranger is meeting and welcoming me and the one who sent me. Your host will be rewarded with an encounter with Christ. This is a charge that isn't just about what we do in church on Sundays, but what we do each and every day and how we relate to the people we come into contact with, limited though that might be at present. Do we seek or accept their hospitality? Do we make the time and effort to find out about the lives they lead, to hear their stories? What Jesus seems to be promising here is amazing. He says that just by accepting an opening into their lives, we give them an encounter with the three-in-one God, who, after all, is all about relationships, bridges, forgiveness, and the healing of community. So I wonder how we might extend hospitality even within the limitations of our current situation. If the only person you encounter is the delivery driver who brings your shopping, could you offer him or her a glass of cold water in this hot weather? Not with an agenda, not because you're hoping that in 6 months' time there'll be a signed up church member, but because in this simple, small act of caring, you're serving Jesus. And I wonder how we're called to be vulnerable, to step into unfamiliar territory, to build relationships and demonstrate love. When we have the privilege of meeting someone who seems different from us, perhaps we're called to show some curiosity about their experiences and to accept opportunities to hear or witness what home or faith or life is like for them. In our breakout room after last week's service, spoke about how they've been gladly accepting the help of their neighbour, a young Muslim man from Syria, who's been doing their shopping for them. Through this point of connection, they've been learning about his experiences. And this is what Margaret says about it. She says, he and his wife have not seen their parents in Syria for over 10 years. So they say we are their parents and family here. And so they want to look after us. Nidal is actually the same age as our eldest son. They have met our boys and their children and now feel part of our family here. They are a joy to spend time with. It's been said that the greatest gift you can give someone is to listen. When we're present and attentive to another person and their story, something holy is happening, and the Spirit of God inhabits that space in between us. Some things for us to think and pray about as we review and reimagine our ministry during lockdown and in our slow emergence into a new kind of normal. Thank you.